call to order the Downtown Advisory Board meeting for February 27th. Start with a roll call. Joshua Page, not here yet. Aaron Turpinning, I'm here. Shalari Holman Kidd.
Here.
Vincenzo Maduri.
Here.
Tyson Pisa, not here. Brad Compton.
Here.
Scott Cloud.
Here.
Linda Nishioka.
Here.
Dana Bukabe.
In attendance.
And Lori Miller.
Present.
Thank you. All right. Need a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right. And the minutes from our last meeting?
Move to approve the minutes.
I second it.
Thank you. Any comments? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Is there anyone here from the public who would wish to address the board on something not on our agenda?
Ooh, me.
Hey.
Me.
Hello. My name is Charles Weathers. Hillary, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Going to maybe kindergarten, if not all of grade school.
Yeah.
Did you go catch your own kids at preschool?
No, I didn't. He was even going back as far as preschool.
I was at the child development.
You're hogging them all. Yeah, I can see this already.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think there's a 10th. I don't know.
I've always wanted to just be.
Lunch spread. I heard great things. No, I have a new project on its way in downtown and wanted to keep y'all in the loop. Is there an extra one? I don't know. I printed a lot, but maybe not enough. Aaron doesn't want to see it.
I needed these one for a record. I'll steal from Joshua. He's not here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, where is this?
This is, if you're heading north, outside on your way out of downtown on Broadway, it's just past Boone's on the right, where some people say the Beaver sign is. It talks about where Jason Lee did his first work.
Oh, just past that.
So like right on.
Just past that. The big gravel square, nothing next to the, yes, the Greer Building. I just want to mention over there. Yeah. The owner of the Greer Building, as well as this lot, and I are going to partner together to put up this beautiful design done by the fine folks over at CB2. It's mixed use, as the zone requires, and a little bit of ground floor commercial. We had a letter intent for an eye doctor, so nothing too fancy, but yeah, good for revenue. And then 23 units, varying from studios up to 1.5-ish beds. We got 2 beds in the corner, I forget. Some fancy stuff on top.
A bedroom and a closet. That's
bedroom and a closet, that's right. You get to attach it to the ceiling when you sleep in a hammock.
Thank you, Dad.
It's just kind of there. If you have some questions, I can give you a little more color. There is, speaking of color, a very nice picture at the back because I got tired of fighting with the material. But there's one view of all the renderings there. Really class up that gravel lot. Our initial intent was to only class up the gravel lot and leave the parking lot. However, through some investigation, I was made known that it used to be where Jason Lee's house was before they picked it up and tried to move it, and eventually did. You can see a picture of it getting stuck under a bridge on its way. But they eventually moved over to Mission Mill, and a lot of us went there as kids for field trips. It was here, actually right on the line that covers both of these lots, between the Greer Building's parking lot and then this site on 990. So we're going to rip open the parking lot and look for it. Granted, the house is gone, but the foundation, perhaps a basement, a thing called a privy, which is really a fancy word for a bathroom. All those things are most likely there. You can see an overlay of a Sanborn map over the aerial view. Everyone's interested in this. We have Willamette, of course, and the history that goes along with that. They're coming and donating a lot of time, and I think it's going to be somebody's archaeological thesis or something to that effect. Folks out of Portland are coming down, some visiting professor from Spain, the tribes are involved. It's a big deal. I don't know a ton about Jason Lee other than this handout and the stuff that I forgot from the field trip, but we've all learned that it means a lot to Oregon, means a lot to the West Coast even, so it could be an extra big deal, depending on what we find and just who's interested at the time when we start digging. It is most likely going to be a public archaeological events, so if you're bored and want to bring the kids out, then come dig some holes and take some shots for your paper. We have most of the funding in place. Certainly appreciate the grant program, and we'll likely be looking for an exception to tick that up a couple bucks to make sure that it all works out. Other than that, I'm just here to answer questions and, like I said, keep you in the loop, so hit me.
Are you making an ask or anything, or are we just talking?
Just talking.
Okay.
I mean, I asked.
The ask is coming down the road.
That you put your thumbs up and say, I like it, but that's just a personal level.
Yeah, cool. Great.
Do you have any idea what you're going to be asking for the rent?
Market.
Market.
But not.
What's market for a studio these days?
Yeah, I mean, by the time we're done,
you have to
probably
wait
much
till
more than it is now.
The final numbers in before you can make that determination.
That's right.
There you go. That's very.
Well, then knows.
But no, it's not low income or something to that effect.
No, I was just thinking if this is something we could promote to students as.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks based on this on the size of some of these, I would say so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
I appreciate that it includes parking.
Yes,
yes,
there is. As much as the site allows.
Let's talk a little bit about the timeline, Charles.
Yeah.
I think the Jason Lee piece, because obviously you're probably not going to start until you have your archaeological public event.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that scheduled?
The most likely that will be taking place for 2 to 4 weeks in April, so it could be the whole month. They could get in and out real fast. Again, kind of depends on what they find. What they find first with this weird thing that looks like a oversized lawnmower, it's the GPR, the ground penetrating radar, and they're going to start doing that real quick. First, Public Works is helping us out, and they're going to move all of the curb stops, and then they're going to go out and penetrate the whole thing with radar, and then that will show us if it is where, in fact, we think that it is, and if they can get at it. What this little map in the corner doesn't show is that to the north end of the site, there was three other buildings, but those were likely 1920s-ish and not as important. Still, things will be found, and that will have to be done to get clearance so that we can excavate the rest of the site. But it should be taking place in April. We'll know more after early March when they get through with that radar thing.
So, are you required to allow them to come in and do it, or is this optional as a developer? I mean, obviously it's a piece of dirt, it's not in the historic district. You get your plans, you get yourself ready to go, you go in, you submit everything. Then somebody says, oh, you're on a site that we're interested in. So are you just being gracious and opening up your property and your kind of your schedule for this, or is it a requirement by the city? I'm always curious.
Yeah, somewhat both, but we took it all the way. And so yes, the site that we're disturbing just for construction, that gravel lot that's not within the parking lot. Like I said, there was some older buildings there. And so because of the proximity to this very fancy site, it's a high probability that something would be found. So yes, we have to at least do the archaeological survey of the ground that we are messing with. However, in the discussions with the city and with Kimberly and the tribes and all that, we go, well, you know what, might as well just go a few more feet south. Let's look for something good. If we're going to do any of that process, and someone's going to be there doing monitoring, and this time is donated for the smaller part that people aren't as interested in, and, well, might as well look for more at the same time. I think that helped get more interest and save some costs by having more time being donated by, basically, Willamette and the firm from Portland that does a lot of the phase ones for projects downtown, the Stantec, the helping out at State Street and such. So that guy said, this is a breath of fresh air to actually do something interesting, not just some utility trenching out in the middle of nowhere that no one cares about. So they're looking forward to it.
When they find something, do you have to wait through some process on their side before you can move your project?
Yeah, I mean, I've asked that like 20 times because I want to make sure it's the same answer every time. And so far, unless it remains of a person or something of very high religious significance, so like a burial site, maybe if the body isn't still there, but something like that, then that would be a little bit longer, but it's not like many, many months delay as far as I've been told a number of times. So.
I'm assuming that the Confederated Tribes will also have the requirement to have somebody present when you're doing this?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And they do have to mark everything. You find a brick, you stop everything, and you mark it off, register it, and then they give the word, they can start again. And if they find a cup or a bottle, they stop. At least that's what we found.
Yeah, and there is always that balance between time is money. How do you balance the two as far as weather, you know, mobilizing, interest rates, all things have changed. They don't know that you're doing the one on 440, that you're getting close to being done, but you're using the federal credits, and so you've been dealing with that process.
Yeah.
For a while.
It can certainly go that way. As you find it, if you don't know about it later, that's what we're barking up the tree about earlier, and going to cut holes and look and let all of the hands on deck to get satisfied with the majority of it. Then beyond that, there's the inadvertent discovery plan. Should something else come up, then it would be the guy that's there watching will stop, like you say, take those pictures.
Yeah.
But we hope to front load that delay by letting everyone just have at it. That's the plan, anyway.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys.
Any other questions?
Yeah. No.
All right. Yeah.
Appreciate it, Charles.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping us informed, and thanks for helping us provide more knowledge.
That's for
everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. What's that? Next action items, we have the parking fund budget. So hopefully everybody had a chance to at least look over the documents that came through an email. What we're going to discuss, if we're going to make any changes, and then try to end with a motion to approve the budget. Also is the increase that we asked for at 5%, except for the riverfront lot was zero. So that's also something we need to include in our motion as a something we're going to want to recommend.
Can we start with one big paper or something? Or which one are we looking at first?
Let's start with, it is a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Downtown parking fund.
The other big paper.
Thank you.
Should be the one on top.
Probably was, let's be honest. I appreciate that.
So we're looking at this downtown parking fund. We also have the piece of paper that shows us options for what we
might fund.
Things we discussed last time, which was roughly, we talked about holding over $100,000 to carry over to the next year as a beginning balance. That's less than what we've done in the past, but it's been our practice to try to carry over something.
Yeah.
And then so I think we all agreed last time that was a good idea to keep that at least at 100. And then Renee has given us some options here to consider for the other 70 roughly, which include capital reserve contribution, so carrying that 70 over, additional cleaning, security for parkades, marketing promotions, and flower baskets. I would also just like to remind everyone that our priorities, I think that came through in the email too, from our open house that we got from our constituents was number one, trash cans, which I think goes along with cleaning, garbage basically, and security. So I think those, if we keep those as our top priorities, that might inform our
session. Corey, regarding the 30 hours per week, plus or minus, with two bodies on duty, is all I envision is somebody patrolling five decks of Chemeketa and three decks of Marion, or rotating through 25 blocks of the district?
It's just an estimate of how many hours.
I'm just trying to figure out what you could do with 30 hours or two bodies.
That's just what $70,000 will buy you.
Not a lot.
We would have to determine the highest need areas and hours if we wanted them there in the evening or the very early morning hours at one or two or three of the structures.
And so that's actually 60 hours a week because it's two people, or is it
Well, yes, it's 60 hours a week.
60.
With two people on duty at a time for, really for safety reasons for.
So we're funding 60 man hours with that kind of money?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the concept there is that person's just basically there as a presence, and then if there is some kind of issue, they would obviously go to where the issue is.
And.
Well, they don't have, you know, those, we had a security team in 2009.
It's been like, it's been 2009 since we had them.
And the board, the advisory board at that time made a decision to change the level of services that they could get with the budget that we had, because it was like $400,000 at that time. Yeah, so in addition to having a parking team, we had a security team. They don't have the ability to arrest. They don't have, they have training, but they can't deal with the things that the board at that time wanted our funds to be able to cover. When I have done, the last 2 years, I've done security starting on Black Friday through January to try to make those, the customers feel better, and I had an ulterior motive. I wanted to know what was going on at different times in the garage, and I figured they could be my eyes and ears, because every day they would do a lot. And they would change their times every day, because last year they were on a set schedule, and people are very astute here. And so, you know, they would be one place, and then 5 minutes later, I'd get a picture of there was all this graffiti or something, and it's like, they know, it's just like they know when the elevators get shut down, when the elevators open. So this year, we mixed it up, and then again, they tell me, you know, there was a couple of cars, there's young kids, you know, and midnight, and their cars in the parkade. Not a lot of actually homeless observations, which is interesting. Those happen more right about the time we all start getting around, wanting to get to work, which is fascinating to me. So we did it in Marion and Chemeketa. They would go.
What was it? Is it a line item?
If you look on the projected 1920 column down towards the bottom, it says parking security services, and it was about $3,000, just for the limited amount that we used them over the holidays. And so there's $3,500 in 2021 to do a similar level of services, just around the holidays.
So do you feel like it was, do you feel like it was helpful?
I think it could be helpful. The challenge for me is we use QRFs, so we use DePaul to provide those services. And those individuals are people that they're giving an opportunity, you know, to have a job, and they need a little bit more oversight. And so the challenge for me is somebody doesn't show, you know, and, or.
But is this not reliable?
So it's not, I think, what the service is, it's just, it's always, it's just like when we used Galt. We had the same challenge with then the clean team, now we use Garden. Same thing, I would have people no show. I was spending half of my job supervising, you know, staff.
Hypothetical, if you put a bigger number, let's just say $1,000 or something towards security for parking, would you be able to get a little bit better service or look for another vendor?
Again, for me, it's all about managing expectations, and unless you had somebody on every floor at every minute, they're not there when you want them to be there. It's like they're going down a stair in Chemeketa, and, you know, security's over at Marion. So by the time they get over, that particular person's behavior is already gone.
But, okay, may I offer this? We have security, obviously, on my property, and we have pro-charged their last sweep at night at 6 o'clock. And so if there's anybody sleeping in our garage, my day porter does not have to deal with getting rid of them. And so it kind of cleans it out for the day, right? And so what if the security just did these sweeps, like at 6, 6:30 in the morning, get the heck out of the garage, get the heck out of the garage, you know what I mean? And clean it out for the day, so that when these gals that work in my building come to work, they're not stepping over, you know, passed out gods. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, because it's working for us to have that last thing in the, you know, right before, like 6 o'clock, and then Jaime gets there at 6:30, and we don't have problems with people on our property. And that garage is a great place to sleep. But because we have those sweeps going, you know, intermittently different times of the night, they're not on our property. They may cruise through and do something, but they're not hunkering down. So I'm just, you know, maybe rather than saying a whole day of something, it's a big, you know, a hit in the morning and a hit at night or something.
Yeah, they don't do a whole day. They're just so many hours.
Yeah.
At where cameras and stuff indicate it would be the highest probability of an issue. And of course, the elevators alternate. They're not always the same. Again, there's a lot that goes into trying to find a way to make the experience better.
Well, and then once they figure out that they're going to get roused and asked to move, they quit the behavior, you know, because the first year it didn't stop the behavior, but now it's like, well, don't go over there because they're not going to tolerate it. And so, see, that's my point.
I'm thinking of the, you know, more vulnerable employees or shoppers downtown just feeling a sense of security that there's at least someone around. Even if they're not on the floor you're in, you saw them when you came in, you saw them when you went out. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just thinking that's just helping the businesses by helping their customers and employees feel safer.
Riddle me this too. Is there a way of, like, we have quite a few entrances and exits in our parking garages.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to, can we just block off some of these so it's one entrance and exit and we know like that's where you're coming in, that's where you're going out, so at least we can monitor that?
Oh, Marion, you can hop over the,
you know. Yeah, so you jump the
wall. Well, unless we meshed it, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, yeah. What are some things that, instead of man hours and people, what can we do in the structure?
Play God Bless America full blast 24 hours a day.
I mean, you know, music and lights are the thing I'm always talking about, but I'm truly wondering, has that ever been a discussion? Has that ever been an idea? Has this ever been talked about?
Yes, putting a gate up has been discussed and looked at since I have been a part of parking. The challenge is always what happens if your access doesn't open.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to come at 2 in the morning and let you in? Our parkades are not all.
I don't mean like locking the parkades.
Well, that's the only way. I mean, vehicles coming in, we used to have doors. You can't, because the people buy permits and they're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can't eliminate their access in and
no,
out.
That's what I mean. It's not, it's just one entry point.
Again, Chemeketa has one entry point and one exit.
Not driving.
Well, Chemeketa has multiple stairs that you can get in.
Okay, so there's no way to.
There's none that don't have
stairs.
Right.
So the Marion, that's all egress issues anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. That's the problem.
Great.
So just a passing question, because I don't want to beat security to death. But those that we've used in the past for security, were they certified security officers or are they just an observer report, kind of uncertified, non-card carrying security?
No,
question.
They all have their DPSST certifications.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just seems that what is going to detract people from wanting to be in there?
The deterrent that is got teeth.
That's not, you know, that it's like, yeah, I just, because if there's 4 different parking garages, and we know that it works for years, but that's just one, and that, you know what I mean? It's like, then we need to, there's just a lot with that, with the people. And so I want to discuss a way of looking more at
lighting and promotion kind of thing to deter.
Like Marion has all those brand new LED lights and it's bright.
It's a nice, well-lit structure.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, you know, Lori's comments says, you know, these are contracted services essentially, right? They're not city employees.
Right.
No.
And so the a morning sweep, say, and I'm just arbitrarily picking hours, you know, 3 to 8 in the morning for those people who are arriving to go to their businesses, usually is in that time, 5 to 8, in that time frame. And have relative comfort that somebody swept through the 3 or 5 or X number of decks. I don't recall hearing a lot of concerns about Liberty, nor on street accesses, so it's mostly a structural issue.
Well, again, Liberty has a different client base there, which is why we didn't put security there.
I'm just envisioning
high traffic areas.
How could one best employ 3,000 hours worth of services over the course of a year? Because that's about what you're telling me. It's, you know, 60 hours for $70,000.
When you had security, were they on foot or did they have vehicles? Or did
no, they were on foot. Or and I also said they could certainly ride the bike through the parkades because then you could hit more areas.
Right, that's what I
could
do.
With more frequency than walking.
If there was a vehicle, it would be easier.
That's a good excited golf ramps.
A golf cart.
Mm.
Oh, a golf cart.
Golf cart with laser.
It's just there's this vision that I feel that people have where, you know, let's just take Chemeketa every morning, you know, you drive in and there's your security person. And they wave and they know everyone. And every day you see the person. And, you know, Joseph. We got our security person, and you know he's there every day. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's hard for Joe to be there, waving and greeting everybody when you get those warm feelings, and then be up on the roof where somebody in a hoodie is checking everybody's car out and breaking the windows.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's all about managing those expectations because even if we have it, I don't know, it won't catch everything.
Yeah.
It wouldn't catch everything. It would add a level of making the public feel safer. Probably just having, you know, Joe at the entrance.
Yeah.
But it's not going to stop
somebody
doing something right out in front of the elevator, leaving that pile, and then somebody emails me and says, "I don't understand why," you know, and it's like, "Hey, Joe's working today." It's like, they saw him, but he can't be everywhere, or she can't be everywhere. So, again, I don't have an opinion one way or another. I just want to make sure that it's all about those managing those expectations, because people that buy permits think that they get something for buying that permit, because that comes up all the time now. I'm paying for the permit, so you should be doing something to take care of all this. And then we're sitting here looking at your permit cost you $58, which is extremely affordable, and you don't get a lot for $58 that you think you should be getting.
Well, we should get a security guy with a German Shepherd. I'm serious, we just need a deterrent that says, you know what, we need it. Get the heck out of the garage. Stop it, you know?
There's a pit bull around the sidewalk.
Well, I'm going to agree with Lori a little bit because I think it's about waving the flag. So whoever the contracted security people, they need to be brightly lit all by themselves. And I think they should be able to tour by car to go through because that's a visibility factor. And then along Lori's line is you got to be pushy. I mean, if there are people in there that aren't supposed to be in there, somebody, you need to get in their face and lean on them a little bit about move on. I know when we did our building, I had sidewalk sleepers all the time, and until I started getting in there at 6 o'clock and telling them they need to get up and move and then starting the blower, after I went through that for about 2 or 3 weeks, they ceased sleeping there because they knew it was going to happen all the time.
Well, here I am 2 months in and they still haven't moved.
Yeah.
I know that I live by an elementary school, McKinley, and It has a little park, and I'm out there walking my dog frequently in the evening. And their security, it is contracted, but I'm sure it's for the schools. And they come and they park, and then they get out and they look around in the area, and they'll tell me, you know, you can't be here past this time. And I go, no, I'll be out before 10, you know, that kind of thing. And so something like that, and that's why I say, you know, I was wondering about the vehicle, because then they could move a bit faster, but that does add, I'm sure, costs.
Well, I think the big thing too is it's a 24-hour thing. This isn't even, you know, at certain times of the day, you know, maybe it's a little worse here because they know, or people know right. when to. And that's the issue here, is that it's having someone, that person, you know, that Joe at the front, but then at night, as people are walking in, and you know, because we do, I do have a lot of female staff and actors and whatnot that, you know, they do have that uncomfortability. I completely understand, and that's where I'm just like, what does this, how could this 30 hours really do any impact instead of thinking outside the box and using that 70 in a way of creating another solution to making people feel comfortable going to those spaces? And I don't know what that answer is exactly, but I just feel like two people at that price is not going to provide the security feeling that we're needing.
Sherry, is there a pattern to like October to April where we have a greater population downtown and greater population in the parkades?
There's a pattern in that Mondays are the worst, in my opinion, because I drive and walk.
Yeah.
Because some days,
and Sunday's
big. We're not in the parkades, there's not as many people, and so the parkades are typically dirty, and the sidewalks are dirty, and Mondays are the ones where, especially now with the people on the sidewalks, you can see all the trash, you know, kind of stacked up. Obviously winter, you know, with the rainy season, that's why people are seeking shelter. In the summer, warmer months, we don't have as many people even use the parkades, and individuals go down towards the water or someplace where it's cooler. So, yes, but I think what we're experiencing for the first time is that we have a very unique situation, and I don't have any history to be able to speak to it, because in the 16 years I've been here, I have not. It is different.
Yes. I would say that I agree conceptually with the idea of looking at other ways to make the parking structures feel safer, but right now this has been $70,000 or something. I kind of feel like we should put something to bump up the security number, just what that number is, I don't know for sure, but to do some physical upgrades or changes to the structures is going to take a long time, planning and design, and it's going to take a lot more than
$70,000.
Yeah. I mean, it'll take hundreds of thousands.
Some of that could be paid with the URA money.
And that's maybe the next discussion that we go into in URA. This, I feel like, is more like, right now, what can we do short term to, and I guess.
The situation we're in.
I propose up the holiday security allocation to two times what you got there, that's $7,000 or $10,000. And take the remaining $60,000 and we can beat that to death.
Renee, the only comment I wanted to make in terms of sort of helping manage expectations is, because these are public structures, our security or police officers aren't going to have the same ability to simply ask people to leave as security officers might in a private parking structure. So we do have those considerations, so I don't want anyone to think that since we've hired security guards to come in at 5 to 7 in the morning that all of a sudden they're just going to be able to sweep everybody out of the stairwells and away from the elevator, because we're still a public facility and there are different laws that impact what we're able to say to people.
But assuming sit life pass, it would apply to a structure too, because it's public right of way.
Will it?
That's, I'm just big tossing thoughts out. Anyway, in recognition of Aaron's thing, I suggest that I like round numbers, $10,000 for holiday security, whatever that divvy is up to when you divide by the square root of three or whatever. Because we have more shopping public in here during the fourth quarter. And it would be specifically targeted to the structures as opposed to elsewhere downtown.
So that's Thanksgiving to New Year's?
Essentially, the same time or the same time frame we have a parking sidewalk closure moratorium.
Black Friday is that Friday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Whatever that happens.
Okay, I agree their right mind to show up on that day. I think we should do something about security being a priority and also just the idea that that's one of the primary purposes of the parking fund is to encourage people coming downtown, so we need to try to help make them feel safe.
So you want even 10,000 is your current suggestion?
I'm such a simple guy.
That's right. So that would add 6,500. Which would leave 64,060.
Some other number.
Left. Yeah, the 70 that's being discussed.
And I'll just continue this dialogue along as it's parked 30,000 out there for contracted services such as marketing, promotion of the downtown businesses. And I'm absolutely opposed to putting additional money into massive service master cleaning up block faces.
I agree.
Personally.
I would look at the building's responsibility. It's the building owner's responsibility
right.
Then. Yeah.
Right. And I'm assuming, right, a building owner paid for the last one, but it's still $7,000 a block face. It's as bad as looking at it as $1 million only get you half a block face of streetscape, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, because that 30,000 marketing, I mean, because I also just want to point out marketing promotions, it's also about marketing the safety, you know, keeping those things in mind. It's not just about marketing events and things, but just what signage we can create and put into the buildings and whatnot.
And then, as long as we're on that particular topic, what is the threshold on the acquisition, proposal, contract services threshold? Is there a dollar amount?
Yes. So we're allowed to directly negotiate for personal or professional services, which is generally what marketing promotion falls under, up to $24,999.
$25,000 would be the right number.
So I just want to make sure everyone understands that the budget allocates funds. It does not direct where funds go. That is still
administrative function. But there's no point, unless we want to go through the pain of that type of acquisition,
there would be
a cap would be like $25,000 for a single purpose proposal. If you put $60,000 in there, it could be 2.5 proposals.
If there were different
Different functions,
services we wanted, for example.
Just want to make sure we're all clear.
I am going to put a placeholder on what Dana's talking about. In general, the board hasn't really ever kind of talked about the expectations for the funds that we've put out for marketing, and because this is one of those topics that is kind of controversial, but people want to put, you know, I'm hearing from the board, you want to show that good faith or effort that is of value and you want to do that, but I just want to make sure that everybody is on the same page for what they're thinking that they're going to get for that. We've never really had that conversation. I mean, more from what you were saying last time, Vincenzo, it's like, you know, the branding, the marketing, the promotion of downtown. I think what your vision is might not necessarily be what, but that doesn't mean that when we go to look at asking for services with that money, that you can't have more of a conversation about what you think. Yes, kind of just like what we're talking about with security or cleaning or whatever, we've never really talked about that. And because this year, last time, there was quite a lengthy conversation about it, I was thinking I'll just bring that back. It won't influence what you do today. This is just putting it, but I think at a later date, we'll talk about, you know, kind of what you're thinking that would be used for. Cool. Okay.
Well, Another question. When we talked about a proposed $30,000 figure for baskets and watering, is that $30,000 in a specific budget year, or is that you have to buy the plants in 1 year and water them in the next year?
It's $30,000 would be allocated in 2021 because we would not purchase them without allocating enough to water them. And the money for July, August, September would be rebudgeted into 21, 22 to finish. But it would just be a portion of that $30,000 carried forward. It wouldn't be any more or less. But you would need to allocate the entire amount. There's no point in spending the money on the flowers and watering for May, June.
Are the brackets still in place?
Yes.
I would just propose parking the rest of the money in flower baskets and watering. I miss them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with what we have going on right now, flowers are the least of our problems. I mean,
I'm just tossing out for conversation.
Well, no, I'm just tossing out my,
same.
I'd rather put it towards security or,
That's fine, too.
We have those cool banners that you made, with the...
Yeah, I put those out, the canoe.
Or the canoe, I thought.
I don't know.
It was a canoe recently, yeah.
Canoe. But you know what I mean at this point?
Yeah.
Brad can't handle my party stuff. At this point, the flowers, as wonderful as they are and everything, we got bigger problems here than putting some flowers are not going to cover up what we're looking at.
Well, what you're looking at, it requires the city council to move forward with some actions and allocate funds for the long-term solution to the homeless solutions, as well as a near-term solution how to make that happen. I don't think the parking district funds go very far to doing any of that.
Yeah.
So, being my rose-colored glasses on, that the people will not be living on my sidewalks or Brad's sidewalks or Linda's sidewalks, or I'll get everybody else's names in there. And we'll be somewhere else, and maybe
we can have fun
improving the pleasure of walking through downtown is an idea there, but we're killing ourselves over $70,000. So parking someone, let's move on.
There's some more effective ways of beautifying and using art and light than having so much money put into these flowers and watering every year.
Well, it'd be nice if we could get the merchants themselves to decide that they want to, go for it and really dollop in front of their places.
There's ways that we can.
The $30,000, that we're talking about here, and I'm not necessarily suggesting one way or the other, but. Again, this in the parking budget, these are such small numbers compared to when the next thing will go to the ERA money, which is more about big physical improvements. These are we're down to the last pennies here. This is not $30,000 is not going to buy a lot of anything.
Absolutely,
especially over the course of a year and a half.
Right.
I move that we park $24,900 in contracted services and drop the rest of it to security services for the holiday, flush it up, and put this to bed. So there's a motion on the floor.
With the capital reserve stuff, is that the intent that it would be able to go over to where we have the budget shortfall down the road?
So we actually, this is an operating fund, and then we have construction funds. So we have a construction fund set up for the parking structures specifically.
The bigger improvements.
Yes, so we transfer money on a yearly basis as it's available from the leasehold accounts and from the parking fund operating accounts into the construction account and try to build them up for bigger projects over time. And so I think when we were here a couple weeks ago, over the next 5 years, it's about $300,000 shortfall for what the planned projects are. So if we put, 25 or 50 into that, it would certainly help with some of the capital needs that are coming up for the next 5 years. And then we'll put leasehold money in as well. And it will, then it just stays in that construction fund and carries over year to year until it's needed for bigger projects.
So to clarify, Dana, your motion is to put $25,000 for marketing and promotions and roughly $45,000 for security, which would actually end up being $48,000.
Right, right, as opposed to the $10,000 number we're talking about.
Is there,
I would want to see something go to the capital reserve first.
Oh, we are, well, wait.
No.
No, we wouldn't on that, under that.
No, Brad's got a valid point.
That zeroes it out. Well, it leaves 100, but zeroes it out.
If 25 is dedicated for marketing promotions, that leaves 45,560. And you're certainly not required to allocate all 70,000. It can be rolled over into next year to be used for, you know, the basic services that we provide. And maybe next year with some of the other expenditures council is considering, we might be having a different conversation about some of the homeless issues that we're facing right now. It'd be helpful.
I'm going to ask that question that I asked last time.
Yes.
If we didn't put it into the reserve, it was just untitled, unallocated.
Up for grabs.
If pro-service, if there was a pro-cleaning, if it wasn't in something, it could come out of the unallocated.
Correct, so if.
But if it's in something, it wouldn't.
There is nothing that precludes council from moving money from one project or program to another in the middle of a budget year if that's their pleasure.
Okay.
We're merely providing recommendations.
If it's under contract, then that would obviously present a challenge, but they could still take that action if they wanted to pay whatever those contract penalties.
So one option would be, we could put $25,000 for marketing and promotions, bump up security up to $10,000 as we.
And put the rest in the reserve. I'll amend my motion, put the remainder in the reserve.
Oh, would it be in the reserve or would it be unallocated or?
In capital reserve, because we have historically also endorsed that we need to maintain these structures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you look out 2 years down the road, you only have $10,000 left over.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Did I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion?
I will keep the numbers. So what my understanding of the numbers is.
Yes, ma'am.
Is $25,000 for marketing and promotion.
Nominally.
An additional $6,500 for security, making it even 10.
Correct.
And the remaining $39,060 to be transferred to the capital reserve.
You had your calculator out.
Yes, sir, I did.
Exactly, that is the motion.
I don't do math in my head anymore.
All right, any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Sharif, I would like it to just build on what you already said, that at some point soon, we could maybe talk about that marketing and promotions and talk about, could we do, I know it's not a ton of money, but could we do an RFP that at least says what we want to get? And then we put it out there so some branding and marketing companies or Main Street or whoever can come and say what they're going to do with the money. I know we don't get to pick, but maybe a couple people can be on a advisory committee that gets to have a vote on who wins that RFP. I know it's not a ton of money, but maybe it's.
Can we just put a placeholder on that conversation? Because depending on what you're wanting, then the rest of it would fall into place.
I'm asking that we have the conversation soon.
Yeah, because you don't need to do an RFP if you just wanted to spend $2,500 and have somebody make it closer. You know what I mean? So I. Well, but what I'm saying, I would rather we talk through what you want. And then we can talk about the appropriate way to get that for you.
Okay.
Because like Dana said.
We've got 4 months.
How it is right now.
Yeah.
The procurement process is.
Can we have that on our agenda?
Yes.
Very soon.
So the two things I have to bring back are, after we get through with all the budget discussions, I'm coming back with a memo to incorporate the things that you talked about last week that you want to share with council when you present the budget back to the being capped and the fees and today.
Oh, yeah, and then we needed also, we needed to approve this. We need a motion to make a recommendation to council that we increase the permit fees. And that's the handout that says estimated revenue 5%.
I move that we increase program fees as provided for in this handout.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Vote. Okay.
And then a tax, 2%.
And then a tax.
Please.
So same.
Given the current statutes, ordinance, whatever word I like today, I move that we recommend a 2% increase in the parking tax for this fiscal year that we're discussing, as opposed to something less.
All right, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Talk about this last time. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thanks, everybody. That's the motion part for today, okay? That's all the action items. Okay, now, moving on to the downtown.
Oh, so what I put together, this is very preliminary. All the city's operating funds were due on Monday, and so then I was able to move on to construction's fund on Tuesday, so this is very preliminary. But I think it's pretty reflective of what I am hearing from leadership they'd like to propose for 2021 in Riverfront. And so what we're looking at is a debt issuance, a long-term debt issuance for $10 million. And it would be a 10-year term. And that's the third line down you see here, long-term bond proceeds, 8.7. We are required to keep a reserve equal to our yearly payment when we issue debt, so we won't receive the whole $10 million in proceeds. We'll receive 8.7.
Sorry, time out. That is, you're issuing a bond, so then investors buy the bond.
It could be a bank issuance if they offered us favorable, fabulous terms, but generally then, when we do issuances that large, we go out for bonds.
And then you would have a payback?
Over 10 years.
10 years, and is that amount for that? We don't know what that is yet.
It's about $1.3 million a year, but that shows up in the debt fund, which is a separate fund from where we do construction projects, and generally not something that the board has been historically interested in seeing a lot of detail on.
I'm just wondering, so then it's a line item somewhere on the expenditures though, right?
Not in this budget. I will back up and explain how urban renewal works. Again, quickly, I'll give you a quick. So there's two funds for urban renewal areas. There's a debt fund and a construction fund. And in the debt fund, the only thing that happens is we get our tax increment and we pay our debt. That's it. And so generally that fund has not been funds that our advisory board is super interested in seeing. So I don't generally bring them, but super happy to do it if you want to see that. What you see on the construction side is the revenue when we issue debt, and then we use it for construction projects. Mm-hmm. So in that debt fund, what I would be showing next year as opposed to this year is, we're gonna get $7.5 million in revenue from taxes, and I'm gonna have a $1.3 million payment for this long-term debt, and that's gonna give me 6.2 left, that then I can do the short-term issuances that we normally do to sort of fund our yearly pay-as-you-go projects.
So the net of that budget, is that what shows up here?
Right, so what you're gonna see in this year is pay-as-you-go $6 million that we have left from the yearly increment, and then the 8.7 proceeds from the larger debt issuance that's long-term to give us a larger accumulation of cash to do some of these larger projects that I've heard interest in doing. Otherwise, we just get money once a year in the middle of the fiscal year, and it's a little bit harder to plan those larger projects.
Thank you.
Yes. So we're showing those as revenues, and then projects and programs. Most of them are the ones that we have been funding the last couple years, proposing some new additional money for the capital grant program. Cherie has about $1 million that's left unallocated right now, not committed, and I know she's still got lots of interest in that program.
Has there been subscription to the loan program?
The last loan I did was Charles on 440.
And so there's 94,000 for the loan programs. So I just carry over.
Old allocation. Okay.
I just carry over. That's all I need to know. Thanks.
Yep. The increased grant amount most, and with interest rates being overall low, the
until you have certificate than they would in the purchase order.
The strategic project grant program, this particular proposal doesn't suggest adding new funds to that, but that does not mean the advisory board cannot make that recommendation. We're just rebudgeting what we don't think will get spent by the end of this year. That doesn't mean it's not committed, it just means it's not been spent.
Is that because we lowered the threshold or lowered the grant amount?
I think she still has quite a bit of interest in that program. I think as of today, there's $100,000 that's not committed, but I know she's got folks that have expressed interest. The strategic grant.
Strategic.
Yeah, there's, continues to be quite a bit of interest. You know, we lowered it from 50 to 30.
Right, spread it further.
But, yeah.
Thank you.
Conference center insurance, same as last year. Conference center marketing, which is reimbursed to the agency from TOT funds, it's actually not funded from urban renewal. Just a 5% increase in their marketing.
So expensive.
Yes.
That's fine.
It is.
It's double my marketing funds, so it's expensive.
We have seen great success with our conference center, however, so.
I applaud that.
$50,000 for zoning code revisions. I think that's something that Sheree was interested in, having some funds set aside for as a result of the zoning review comes to us. There might be code revisions that are needed to incent development, and so we wanted to set some funds aside.
Is that dealing with the overlays as well, or just simple codes?
Well, Rebecca's working with the consultant on looking at the 18 different overlays in that area right now.
It's overlays.
When that's done, she'll bring it back. But yeah, the goal is to be able to continue to move it forward, taking code revisions through council. With the Salem underway, community development staff, you know, that's their priority. So we're hoping to keep their attention, at least through getting a final draft, knowing that they probably won't be able to touch base with us again until the fall, when they're through with our Salem. And it's interesting because they, CD staff that are on point for that, you know, they do the public outreach, and they have, especially on the, you know, kind of the north area of north downtown along the water, you know, west of Front, that's real challenging because, you know, Front Street has railroad track, sinking, la, la, la. And so they've been doing, including in their outreach, kind of like, what would you like to see in different parts? And everybody wants a park. So, you know, this continuation of Riverfront Park all along, you know, up. So they were kind of saying it would be helpful to them if they had a chance to look at what's coming out of the public outreach before we finalize, kind of going back to the community and saying, here's the code revisions to make sure that it makes sense.
Right.
And I can see that too. I mean, timing's everything, and they're gathering all that data, and they would like to be able to have it be meaningful to even what we're doing. So stay tuned, we'll be coming back with that.
On streetscape, we're suggesting $1 million of new funding, and two purposes to that. You may recall that we diverted some streetscape funds in 1920 to the police station improvements. That was $693. And so the $1 million is intended to sort of replace that so they can finish constructing what's currently under design. And then the remaining $300,000-ish would be to start design on a next phase. So that's why we're recommending $1 million.
So this would be for the State Street phase, and the next one would be for court?
I would have to defer to Sheree on that.
That would be the plan.
And this is just design or execution? I'm losing track. This project, you know, all of these projects are so many years in the running.
I know.
This is finalizing what's currently under design, which is State Street?
State Street.
Right.
And then beginning design for the next phase.
Right. What I didn't hear was execution.
Phase one is two streets. State Street up from, you know, Front up to Commercial, and then south on Commercial by Holman. So in front of, and the other side of.
Okay, oh, so it's gonna cover the other side, okay.
The goal is to try to get a consistent look and feel.
Okay.
We're also looking at
but
half a block on Court Street, because Paul's project included some, you know, infrastructure,
yes. Yeah.
And Music Court across the street, you know, has no lighting, and so we're looking at how much would it cost for us to get something there in phase 1-2, and then depending on how that comes out, then we would look at that as phase 2 if we can't get it in phase 1, but it was always going to be state. And then,
but is it execution or is it
the top? Is the top coming off and getting done, or is it just
construction?
Is starting
this summer. The top, well, okay, yes. In front of Nishioka's building, that's all going to be done as part of their project. The piece from Clyde's, the alley,
right.
Down to front, it will start this summer.
That's what I was looking
yeah.
for.
Holman, I had my meeting with them to know how we're going to incorporate who's doing that particular sidewalk improvement. So yes, the goal is to get things started this summer. The design is like 63% the last time done, so there should be able to. And we've asked for a meeting with Josh again too.
Oh, okay.
Touch base with him on schedule. So
did they schedule something?
He's not responded to me.
Oh.
That's okay. Most
I think my question was answered.
Does that also include, I know that we're being required to extend the alley and make some changes for the city and at the alley. That's not part of streetscape. That's just trying to increase the size of the alley.
That's a requirement for your project. That wasn't part of streetscape.
Yeah,
now,
so that's why.
Where we can, because the alleys are the most difficult for us to implement what we wanted in the streetscape design, so that is a location that we're hoping
that
we might be able to do something. The alleys are the most difficult for us to take what we had in that design and put them in there, because of loss of parking, because we made a commitment that we weren't going to, you know, remove parking spaces to do this.
But then that
alley, there's stuff that's already
basically
there.
Basically given to the Confederated Tribes to sort of name and manage and all of that.
Oh, is that the one that the tribes naming?
So I don't know if the expectations would be for them to also do any design work. And
I don't think they'd be able to do that because the city has streetscape design standards.
Okay.
So if so, they
that's a good thing to know.
I've never seen that kind of a requirement, because typically the city, you know, says this is what is required. I don't know what those conditions are, that where those conditions lie that the tribe
for some,
has for the alleys.
Yeah.
I thought it was just simple, sorry to interrupt.
To name it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that.
I think that we also were thinking that then they might have concepts of potential
designs or something they might want
yes,
to implement.
Yeah. For the area. But
yeah, I'm not sure where they want to do that.
They don't keep in communication, so
yeah.
I think you can do it on a GoFundMe or something.
So is that, I know we, are we going
so
line by line?
I sidetracked this,
okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, I just wanted to, I forgot we're gonna keep going, so.
Unless you don't want me to, I don't
have
to. No, I just want to make sure
I want to keep it down to 4 million.
Oh, yes, I'm sure, that's true. So we have alley lighting improvement funds that are in the current budget. I'm just estimating that we may not get all that money out the door by June 30th, so I'm rebudgeting some of it. And then we have a suggestion to add another 150 to continue on to some new alleys and keep that project going. Due diligence on UGM and Saffron, we've put $100,000 in there. That location currently is being worked on by a consultant to identify potential environmental issues that may need some attention, and so that's just a placeholder for us right now. We were hoping to have an actual estimate by this time, but we don't, so we just are making an estimate for the sake of having something in the budget for that. Union Street Bike Friendly, we're just rebudgeting that project. I'm sorry, I don't have an update on that one. I do have questions out to Public Works on what's the timeline for that, and hopefully when we come back in a couple weeks, I'll have an answer on that one for you. 4.1 million. So there has been much discussion at the council level and our leadership level about what can the city and or agency do to help with the homeless situation in Salem. And one of the ideas currently brewing is to acquire some property or properties and make those a navigation center in our downtown core. So I was asked to include an allocation for that in the budget, and so that is what the 4.1 million represents.
Let's find the dirt.
I understand that there are buildings under consideration, although I'm not necessarily privy to all the buildings that they're looking at. I don't attend the executive sessions for real estate transactions. So, but I have heard that there may be actual buildings downtown that they might be interested in purchasing or renovating. And
can we make a recommendation to not be in the downtown core?
This advisory board can certainly make whatever budget recommendation they would like to make, and we will move that forward for you. It's my job to help you create your recommendation.
So I have a few questions, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Going back to the alley lighting and naming, we have the rebudgeted is
yes.
200.
Mm-hmm.
And then new funds is 150.
Correct.
Can you kind of just explain maybe a little bit more of what the difference between the two is for me?
Sure. So originally, three or four budgets ago, we allocated, I think it was $600,000 to the alley project. And so we've been making progress every year on lighting upgrades, and I will defer to Shrute with some more specific on what we've already accomplished. And so what I'm saying is of that 600,000, I think at the end of this particular year, we might have 200,000 that hasn't actually been spent.
Okay.
And so I have to carry over the budget authority in addition to having the cash still in order to spend it. It's just Oregon budget law says you have to allocate in your budget what you want to spend.
Except for the brighter light.
And then what about the 150?
So that's new funds for new alley projects to continue doing lighting projects and improvement projects in the downtown.
And then the 80 is truly just for those, for the poles and the top.
Yeah, as a result of the naming project that CD undertook this last year.
Council supported the names.
Salem Main Street.
Yes, mm-hmm. that they came up with. Unfortunately, you know, most of the alleys don't have the infrastructure to put a topper on to place that name. So unlike where 1859 Cider is, where we have poles on both mm-hmm. ends, the poles are already there, all we have to do is put the topper on it that says Electric Alley.
Right.
All the other ones, we have to
put the pole
buy the pole,
right.
get the topper, and
so
it's very
expensive. So my question with that, is mm-hmm. do we want to have this, I know it's only 80,000, but is this necessary to have right now in our budget when there's already plenty of conversations about alleys and streetscape and what that's going to look like and how it's going to make sense altogether?
I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, we have to show support for what, you know, others are doing. You know, the public, they went through a process, and so they don't have the money, and it wouldn't be up to them to put in the poles to do it.
Right.
Obviously, where we have streetscape, if the timing's one of such, it would just be part of the streetscape.
Right.
And that's the way
project.
Right.
But that's in a very limited area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's quite a bit of consensus that this type of improvement adds the vibrancy and it makes people walk around and it's interesting, with the exception of the name for the one by you. All the other alleys have names. Now it's just a matter of, if council hadn't gotten behind it, and we don't want things to stall out because that's part of it, this one you could probably move it forward. It's just a price point that you can't put it in this year. We wouldn't be able to get it done this year.
And you said we already have Electric Alley done?
Electric Alley already has the poles.
Right, so we
just have the top blades. You know, it has 1859 Cider on a blade.
Right.
And so a topper would go on the top that says Electric Alley.
Right.
Both ends.
Right.
So for every alley you have, you know, two that you need to get. The toppers even are pretty expensive, but the poles are what's really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Nine alleys would be named. Two of them currently have the infrastructure, so we'd have to get infrastructure for seven others.
Right. And is, because with that, with
knowing that that's, you know, part of what this is, that for the 80,000, excuse me, for the 80,000, is that something though that goes into like the design and like what that's going to look like and everything, like how
that's already done.
The good thing is that the poles are the poles.
And the little topper thing is pre-described because we're in the historic district, so we already know what that is. That's why it was easy for us to get the cost for the topper, and we've already purchased poles in the past. However, they've gone up, so we know what the project is going to look like. And you know, Rebecca, why don't you put that on your list, and we'll bring it in and show them kind of what the topper.
This will actually. This isn't 60 grand to design, and then what's, who knows how
right, much. I just wanted to make sure. I was like, is it going to be a whole other step of designing? And
exactly.
Yeah. You actually get something.
Okay, cool.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, right?
Great. Renee, is the $2.5 million on the homeless task force project from last year, the current budget, did that go anywhere or what?
I'm anticipating those funds will be expended by the end of the year, and that information will come to this board and the agency to implement that.
Okay.
Is that what was talked about at council the other night, with the shelter and restrooms?
No, just because it feels like we're not being transparent, so I think I need to like make sure that I let everybody know. So when it comes to real estate, until it's done, we can't talk about it because it's a negotiation, and it's all handled, you know, typically in an executive session, and so it's not out there. So I want you to know that's why it feels like we're not. Renee's not answering the question.
Sorry.
What building are we looking at? I mean, probably some of you here can probably figure it out. But the bottom line is, she's not at liberty. Because negotiations are underway. So what she has in here is typically as part of any acquisition for us, appraisals are done because obviously we have to make, we have to buy things at, you know, market rate. So the numbers are here are what she's been given probably by real estate staff based on either they've already done an appraisal or they have outreached. And so I just wanted to say, I know it feels awkward because this is the first time that so much money is going into these line items in the budget, but I have heard more of a concept, not so much a building. So they have talked about the navigation center. Obviously they're talking about, you know, more locations for covered areas for people. Arches does not have the capacity to meet what the expectations are for having a place for people to be that is covered if Arches is closed, because they're not open 24 hours a day. They close at 3, and they're not open on the weekends, but that's something that they're looking at. So it's just a combination of things. Certainly, we will be paying with our funds for 3 or 4 restrooms, something like the Portland Loo. We'll be paying for bike lockers or something for storage. These are the things that, you know, council is asking to have available if they consider, you know, implementing any kind of sit and lie. So, I mean, it's just different this time than what we've ever had before. And of course, then there's just a controversy of whenever you do anything, not in my backyard, not in my neighborhood, not in, so odds are we'll be looking at city locations for the Portland Loo type of things, having them in areas that make sense as far as where the need is. Mm-hmm. Kristen and I talked yesterday about what about this location, what about this one. I'm like, yes, for Salem Center, that would be an amazing location. It would really help them if there was a Portland Loo there. So, you know, those, I think we have to have something to go back on the 9th of March to kind of say what efforts and what ideas we might have. So I know for me, I'm, you know, looking at costs for a lot of different things right now. Not property, that's a different department, but we will be paying for things that support getting the individuals that are on the sidewalks options for, you know, where they can go to the restroom. Obviously, Arches is going to open up March 15th. They have laundry facilities there now. They have showers there. They have the day room there. And they'll have some storage for personal belongings, which is a big piece of this too, in their area. So it just takes longer than we would like.
And actual, by the time we get to an actual acquisition, the agency does have to approve publicly the purchase and sale agreement. So between now and the time, you know, money goes out the door for an acquisition, there will be a public process to have the agency actually approve those specific, that property or properties that they want to look at. And so always hope that those things come to the DAB for information before they go to the agency. Sometimes time doesn't allow that, but there is always there is always a public approval of those purchase and sale agreements, and so there's always opportunity for the public to comment on them.
We put in $4 million to purchase the UGM site. If you add the 3.577 plus 150 plus 100, I mean, it's close to $4 million. Mm-hmm. But
it's the two, it's not just UGM, it's Saffron's.
It's the block.
And Runaway and Kiki's around the corner.
But
yeah.
But I would say that's a significant investment that we, as a URA, have made into helping the homeless situation, because that's enabled the UGM to build their new facility. In addition to that, in grants, we gave $750 to the UGM. So that's, you know, for somewhere in the almost $5 million mm-hmm. that we've invested into UGM, putting up, you know, something like 300 beds. $5 million is like, you know, pretty significant investment there. Additionally, we put $2 million into Arches. So now you're looking at $7 million in the last 2 years we put into, basically into housing and or services for homeless. And then now we've got another 2.5 for the Homeless Task Force implementation. We don't even know what it is, but it's another $2.5 million. So you're at, let's just say, $9 million. And then another $4 million now, over four. So, you know, in the range of $13 million, which is, I mean, it's getting a little, I agree with the sentiment that Vincenzo kind of brought up, which is, I don't think that this is equitable, the way this is being gone about. Downtown is a small area of our city, and the rest of our city needs to help bear this burden. And certainly, I know from personal experience, people who are homeless don't all come from downtown, but they're getting directed downtown, partly because of what we're building. And I don't disagree with what we've done for UGM or necessarily putting up restrooms and other facilities. I think we should do that. But going and further and sort of, I think, reinforcing the situation that all homeless or anyone needing services needs to come downtown is I don't think, a good investment of the money that we're taking from downtown businesses to do this, or from the downtown URA, I should say. I think that, for example, the $4 million we've already invested for UGM, it would be a great benefit for downtown if something that's going to replace that was already in the works, and we don't have anything budgeted for that design process and capital improvement there. And how
they got $6 million out there, future projects.
Yeah, I know. And
but yeah, I look at the Saffron and the UGM. It's like when we did sites A, B, and C up on Broadway. we acquired the land and then got something leveraged back.
Yeah. I guess I'm just concerned looking at over the course of the last two years and then this year's budget, but I mean, we're in the $13.5 million in just into one, you know, very narrow issue that I just question honestly why we wouldn't be looking at a public bond to build a navigation center. I think there would be tremendous support in the community to pay for that through a bond and probably have no problem passing that, even if it was $10 million. And so, I don't know, I just question if the equity of asking downtown to continue to bear the entire burden of this issue.
Well, it's a run for office. Mm-hmm. Well, so it can all change once the legislature gets back to business. Next year.
Or the year after.
Well, you know, it's a small amount of people, too.
We've had these conversations before. Right. This goes to how you vote. Because all we do is make the recommendations. We don't approve. And I look at UGM Saffron as an opportunity. Because that particular location is not going to be redeveloped into a social service-ish thing. It's not. Hopefully it will be what we've all been wanting, maybe a Green Zebra, a grocery store, some small grocery store. Maybe we'll skybridge over to Chemeketa Parkade, make it easy for a grocery store. We'll have some housing, I don't know. Be a mix of uses. And there's other properties that are in that block that are vacant right now. And so, you know, maybe part of the strategy, I know it sounds like it's all for services, but maybe part of the strategy would be different than just that. Yes, the navigation center and arches and the police facility are all in UGM, or, you know, in the northern part, and that is within the urban rural area. But again, you know, we take that direction from council and the agency board. It doesn't mean, again, that when we do the budget recommendations, I'd be happy to do a memo that includes your comments on Riverfront 2, that, you know, you would like consideration of, as far as total. And it's not just a downtown thing, it's a citywide thing, and the equitableness of it. But in all honesty, when you have a general fund that is having a hardship and you're already, you know, looking at an employee tax and different things, it's hard to say to put this someplace that isn't within an area where you might have access to the funds. But, you know, I'm not...
No, that's right.
Yeah, but we can, you guys know, I will have no problem representing any comment that you have, just like Renee doesn't have a problem putting whatever changes you want on here as far as what you're recommending to them.
Dean, I know you mentioned before we started the project coordination and support number going up and the ICAP number going up. On the project coordination and support, I think that a fair portion of that is real estate. I know that it's real estate related, and actually probably if we do end up acquiring properties, will really be part of those budgets, not in addition to those. And so I probably need to do a little fine tuning on that for you all. And then on the cost allocation plan again, I have not had a chance to get an answer yet from our finance department, but it did increase quite substantially. And I just want some confirmation from them about why that happened. I think there's been a lot of legal time that we've used this year and anticipated to be used next year, some of it having to do with our company center projects and renegotiation of our management agreement. It's been a pretty heavy lift for legal. And so I suspect that some of it is based on actual legal costs this year and projected over the next year. But I will definitely get an answer on that one for you by the time we come back.
Okay.
Yep.
So is that something then that what Aaron was saying, is that something that we can have as something proposed to the council as to potentially this bond idea or making them understand, or not understand, but that this is a, it's a citywide thing, so it can't, it should just be a downtown URA budget item?
I think there's a couple ways to do that. I think one, like Shreya mentioned, is last year we did, it was more parking fund focused, but a memo from the advisory board to the budget committee and council and agency board members during hearings in April, so that they got that memo on the night they reviewed that budget with your thoughts on continuing to look at permit increases and things like that that you wanted to share last year. So we could do that again this year, more focused on URA budget, and then your actual budget recommendation again could be different than what staff ends up recommending.
Shreya, you've been as excited as anybody about streetscape. Do you feel like this is what we have in this proposed budget is enough to keep the momentum going and what we, what's practically, what we're practically able to get done in any given?
Well, that was the unknown when we started this, because we didn't know. And then we had no idea what it was going to cost, because we hadn't done it before. And then add to it that every location is going to be different.
Yeah,
so the costs are going to be different.
Yeah.
We really, really wanted to get this first one to the point where we had a cost estimate, but then this one's going to be unique in that, you know, the Nishioka building is, that it's part of their budget.
Right.
It's not part of this budget, so we're, you know, kind of coming up with our money to their money. But yes, trust me, I will fight and take it from, ask to have it taken from Alley or something, if I can't move forward design on the next project, because the goal was to keep it going, so we had one in the hopper every year, because these things take a year to get all the investigatory design, all that done, and so we never get to see anything happening. So to keep it going, so something you can see the activity year after year, the progress being made.
Yeah, I guess I mean, I guess we need to get going, and we're going to come back to this at our next meeting. I mean, I'd be interested in, even if it's taken out of committed to the future projects or something, I'm interested in us being a little bit more proactive on some of these things, whether it's the UGM site and putting some money towards getting this year, getting that ball rolling, so that that momentum, when as soon as they're out of there, there's already activity happening. What, even if it's just abatement of the asbestos that's going to have to be done in those buildings.
Isn't that in the budget?
Yeah, there's $100,000 in there for environmental things. And again, it may be more, it may be less, hopefully.
Yes.
We know in the next few weeks, but right now I don't.
Because I'd like to see some for funding for the, to get started on the,
like the redevelopment sort of plan.
So,
and just looking at this 4.15 and then looking at what we really are kind of wanting to do, I feel, is that kind of what you're saying? Is like, it's just like a...
No, I guess I feel like we, the, for years, this group that didn't, the URA didn't have much money. It, no criticism there, because it built the conference center, but now we're in a phase where we have some money, and instead of us being proactive and really getting a lot of momentum and great things going downtown, which we have enough money to do, instead we're being reactionary, and it's all going to issues that are coming at us week by week.
Right.
As opposed to us being proactive and getting out ahead and making down, you know, making investments in infrastructure and or buildings to improve downtown.
Right.
Instead, all of $13.327,266 is going to an issue that has all of a sudden hit us all in the face. And I have, again, I have no problem with that. I know we need to take care of, we need to do whatever we can to help people that need help, but I feel like we're being very reactionary as opposed to proactive.
Can we bring back another line, add a line item for discussion for phase three or whatever it is, a streetscape, mark another $1.5 million there.
I agree.
Document that 6.1, because committed to future projects is just some actually future reserve.
Right, it's that, because we're contemplating a debt issuance, we would have $6 million, which is approximately what we normally have in a year for pay-as-you-go projects, and then this additional $8.7 million that we're talking about for longer term. And it's, we haven't developed a complete project list for that yet, so if you want to suggest more streetscape, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
Is that phase three, four, or five?
Seven, two.
All right, let's call a meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 12th of March, apparently.